In the name of Jesus, who is Lord over every authority. Amen. After the earthquake, at Jesus' death, there was a stillness, a disturbing silence that came upon the whole land. I remember it vividly. But because the Sabbath day was coming, we had to act quickly. So Joseph of Arimathea, who had been part of the council and started listening to Jesus, he ran and went to Pilate to try to get the body, because otherwise Rome was just going to leave the body to be picked at by birds all night. Joseph of Arimathea apparently was persuasive. He got Pilate to give us the body. So we took the body of Jesus, and as quickly as we could before sundown, we only had a couple hours, we took it to Joseph's own tomb. No one had ever been laid in there before, and we put him in there. And the giant stone was rolled in front of the tomb. It took about a dozen of us to move it. Apparently, the chief priests were plotting in the background. They knew how much we loved what Jesus had done for us and how much he had meant to us. So the chief priests went to Pilate, and they also had their own petition. Pilate, this Jesus spoke of coming back from the dead. It would be a disaster if his disciples were to steal the body in the night and then start spreading rumors that this Jesus was back from the dead. So the chief priests begged Pilate, "Give us some of your Roman guard and let us seal the tomb even more securely than the giant stone. We need to make sure that nobody is getting in or out of the tomb." The Roman governor, seeing the possible revolution at hand if this Jesus and his body went missing, says, "Absolutely. Take as many men as you need. Secure the tomb as best as you know how." And so they did. Roman soldiers guarded the tomb. As if we weren't feeling defeated enough, a giant stone that it takes a dozen men to move, and now the most powerful army in the world standing between us and Jesus. But even more important than that, what hung on our hearts wasn't Rome, but death. We saw him die. Game over. No one had ever come back from the dead. We knew, stronger than Rome standing guard, there was death itself. We were powerless. And the silence was disturbing. We had so much hope that Jesus was going to change the world. So much hope. We had invested our entire lives, left our jobs behind to walk with this man, upset our families, upset the authorities of our own country at every turn. And where were we now? Where was Jesus? Gone. In every layer of protection in the world was buffered between us and him. Death itself. We had hoped in Jesus, but the mountain that stood before us was too big. Who could move this mountain? Sure, we could move the stone if we needed to, but the Roman army? Everyone had tried to stand up to Rome, and they had been brutally crucified. And death. How were we to move the mountain of death? As we sat there in those first 24 hours stewing over this, with the deafening silence. We thought about what Jesus must have been feeling on the cross that day. We had bailed on them, on him the night before. Everyone was mocking him and making fun of him. And he had claimed that God was going to be there for him. And all he got was silence as well. A stillness. The chief priests had mocked him. You trusted in God. Where is your God now? Nothing. It's what we had so admired about Jesus. He had so fiercely had his eyes focused on God. And yeah, we were raised Israelites. We all were raised to believe in God. But sometimes when he spoke about God, we would talk to ourselves on the side and say, what God? Where? We don't hear anything, Jesus. You talk this game about your Father, and all we get is silence. But man, he was steadfast. He swore that he heard the voice of his God in the wilderness. He insisted that God was with us, dwelling among us as we were journeying through the countryside together. We would whisper to ourselves saying, where is God? That Garden of Gethsemane night, I wonder if the silence got to Jesus. When he broke down that night and he was weeping, never seen a man so weak. He was a mess. He said he was so scared, he thought he was going to drop dead. Maybe he was hearing the silence as well. But somehow he stuck it through. As he was praying on the cross, I'll never forget those words, my God, why have you forsaken me? You could see it and hear it in his troubled voice. That he trusted that God was somehow still there, even as he prayed that prayer. Somewhere in that silence, God was present. So as we've been thinking about this over the last 24 hours, letting it sink in, we really have come to the conclusion that we think this silence encaptures life. The journey that Jesus had called all of us onto. As we have been baptized at the beginning by John, we had started this journey. We really think that what Jesus experienced there in the moment of the cross and what we are feeling today really is life in a nutshell. That the life of walking by trust, not by physical sight, is accompanied by a lot of silence. If it wasn't, what kind of trust would it be? So as the mountain looms ahead of us, the mountain of the stone, the Roman army, and death itself, and all we hear is silence from God, we're forced to that place of trust again. Oh, we feel so weak as we stare at the mountains. But I'm convinced that's what Jesus wanted us to feel. I'm convinced he wanted us to feel weak, broken, emptied, helpless. I think for the very beginning, when he called us to leave our fishing nets behind and follow him, I think that's what he was seeking all along, was to get us to this place of emptiness. Because I think he knew it was only in the emptiness and the brokenness and weakness, in that forced moment of turning to God in trust, that there was a new seed for life. And we don't know how long the tomb's going to stay sealed. Seems like it's already been years. The mountains that loom ahead of us in our lives, if we are going to continue in this path of trust that Jesus taught us, are huge. The nations and the governments of the world are a mess. They rage after each other, fighting for control. The rhetoric is nasty as people fight for their corner of the pie of running God's world. Who's going to move the mountain of the political mess of our world? Oh, and the businessmen, the big landowners of our world, who've grabbed up every scrap of land from the poor, where now the poor are working on land owned by somebody else, forced to work for barely their daily bread, as the men who own the land get rich and rich and richer. Who's going to move this mountain of oppression that is bearing down upon the poor of our world? And more personally in our own lives, as we failed Jesus, as we abandoned him in that most important moment, are we going to be able to move the mountain of our own hearts? He's been urging us to change and be transformed. Are we going to be too stubborn? Who's going to move the mountain within us that keeps us just in our same old broken patterns, self-destructive to the end? And death just continues to be the final voice in our world. Every time death speaks, that's it. Who is going to move that mountain? Jesus had told us. He said, if you have faith, even as small as a mustard seed, you will be able to say to this mountain, be thrown into the sea. And it will be thrown. He told us that day, if you have even the smallest faith in God, you will move mountains. Nothing, he said, nothing will be impossible. Well, Jesus, the impossible is in front of us. We need the seed of faith. Our people, the people of Israel, were stuck. Remember our most important story? When they were leaving Egypt, God had delivered them, but then they ran into the Red Sea. And there was this impenetrable sea of chaos, the Red Sea in front of them on one side. And on the other side, the greatest army in the world. The Egyptian army was bearing down upon our people. And Moses had fearlessly said to the people that day, do not be afraid. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Death on one side. The powers of the authorities and all of their craziness on the other. We are feeling the same death squeeze. May we remember those words. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. the Lord could move mountains. May we have the smallest amount of trust to hang with him and wait on his deliverance. Amen.